Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
People marched through London to mark International Quds Day and show solidarity with Palestinians targeted by Israel's decades-long occupation and atrocities. Yemen warns Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates that violating a UN-brokered truce will trigger a painful response. Also in the headlines, the final duel is on for the French presidency. Voters will decide which of the two candidates will be the next occupant of the Elysee Palace. Thank you for joining us. Our top story, people are out on the streets of the British capital, London, to mark International Quds Day and express solidarity with Palestinians facing intensifying Israeli crackdown. The demonstrators in the British capital, London, they're gathered in front of the Home Office where they plan to march towards Downing Street. They called for international action, including sanctions to end Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories and its growing aggression. Among the protesters are Jews who are denouncing Israeli violations. Meanwhile, the United Nations is demanding impartial, independent investigations into escalating violence in occupied Palestine. The spokeswoman for the UN Human Rights Office is gravely concerned about the growing atrocities and the excessive use of force by the Israeli military. Ravina Shamdasani says numerous videos have raised serious concerns about the conduct of the Israeli regime forces, which is widespread, unnecessary, and indiscriminate. According to the official, many Palestinians have been beaten, shot with sponge-tipped bullets, and sustained serious injuries. Over the past month, Israeli forces have killed and wounded scores of Palestinians and arrested hundreds in the occupied territories, including at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound.
Violence at the Al-Aqsa compound has surged during the fasting month of Ramadan. It all began when dozens of Israeli military forces stormed into the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound in the occupied old city of Al-Quds and restricted the entry of Palestinian worshippers into the Flashpoint holy site to secure the incursion of hundreds of extremist settlers to mark the Passover holiday. Regime forces assaulted Muslim worshippers inside prayer halls while protecting the Israeli settlers desecrating Islam's third holiest site. So far, at least 19 Palestinians have been killed, while hundreds more have been injured in clashes with Israeli forces. This has raised concerns about a slide back into the wider Israeli-Palestinian conflict, like the one in May last year when frequent acts of violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque led to an 11-day war between Palestinian resistance groups in the besieged Gaza Strip and the Israeli regime. But why is the Al-Aqsa compound a central point of contention in the issue of Palestine? Israel-occupied East Al-Quds, where Al-Aqsa is located, during the 1967 Arab-Israeli War. It annexed the entire city in 1980 in a move never recognized by the international community. The illegal Israeli control of East Al-Quds, including the Old City, violates several principles of international law, which outlines that an occupying power does not have sovereignty in the territory it occupies. Following Israel's occupation of East Al-Quds, a delicate status quo was agreed upon, with Jordan giving Muslims the sole right to pray at Al-Aqsa and Jews at the nearby Western Wall. However, Palestinians accuse Israel of restricting Muslim worship at Al-Aqsa while not doing enough to enforce the ban on Jewish prayer at the compound and even protecting the violators. The ensuing Israeli aggression against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa compound is a flagrant violation of the status quo. Next, what has the international community done to put an end to Israeli violence against Palestinians? Well, the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes with total impunity, and the international community is silent, except for a few words of caution. The United Nations believes it suffices to express deep concern over the worsening security situation in the occupied Palestinian territories, saying it will probe into the use of force at Al-Aqsa. But is that enough? Perhaps the world's largest and most familiar international organization is too busy, preoccupied, or distracted with the Russia-Ukraine war, but the issue of Palestine deserves the same, if not more, attention since it has been ongoing for several decades.
Well, Israel's latest aggression towards Palestinians and the desecration of the Holy Mosque have drawn condemnations and triggered protests around the world. Events have been held to warn about Israel's naked aggression against peaceful worshippers and voice concerns over what they call the criminal silence of Islamic countries and the international community.
Thousands of people across the globe have taken to the streets to deplore Israeli violence against Palestinians at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound and elsewhere in the occupied territories, as the regime in Tel Aviv continues its crimes in Palestine. In Pakistan, thousands of people took part in rallies after Friday prayers in major cities, denouncing the Israeli attacks on Palestinian worshippers in Al-Aqsa Mosque as naked terrorism and urging Islamic countries to intervene immediately to protect the sacred site and Palestinian lives. Also in Bangladesh, thousands of people demonstrated against the Israeli onslaught. Elsewhere in Jordan, the protesters called for the expulsion of the Israeli ambassador and Amman's withdrawal from the Jordan-Israeli peace treaty signed in 1994. Pro-Palestinian rallies, however, have not been limited to Muslim-majority countries. Rallies were held in the US as well as European capitals such as Amsterdam, London, and Berlin. The protesters called for international action, including sanctions to end the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories and the regime's growing aggression.
And so we're on a continuous upward trend, a continuous upward surge in support for Palestine and support for the boycott and isolation of the Israeli occupation and in standing with the Palestinian resistance.
More protests have been organized in other countries worldwide. One of the many online websites promoting resistance against Israel is Samidun, Palestinian Prisoner Solidarity Network, which has urged all Palestinian, Arab, and international supporters of Palestine to organize events and confront Israeli massacres and ethnic cleansing, events which are held by different organizations around the world.
Now, the Saudi-led coalition is refusing to authorize commercial flights out of Yemen's capital despite a ceasefire agreement in place. National carrier Yemenia says the first commercial flight from Sana'a in 6 years has now been indefinitely postponed. The plane was due to take patients in need of medical treatment to Jordan's capital, Amman. The arrangement was part of a two-month UN-mediated truce between Yemen's Ansar Allah movement and the Saudi-led coalition in early April. The airport in Sana'a has been closed to commercial traffic since August 2016, when airstrikes by the Saudi-led coalition disrupted service to the city. Hundreds of thousands of Yemenis have lost their lives directly and indirectly due to the war and blockade that Saudi Arabia and its allies started 7 years ago. The country is crippled by poverty, hunger, and disease, with more than 70% of the population in need of humanitarian assistance. And Yemen's Ansar Allah movement warns Saudi Arabia and the United Arab Emirates of a painful response if they further undermine a UN-brokered truce. Spokesman Mohammed Abdul Salam says the coalition is mobilizing its forces on the Ma'rib front, adding that Yemeni armed forces and popular committees are ready to counter any hostile act. Ansar Allah and the Saudi-led coalition agreed to a two-month truce earlier This month, the ceasefire has been fragile. However, amid sporadic reports of Saudi attacks on Yemen, Ansarullah officials also say the coalition continues to violate the terms of the agreement by seizing Yemeni fuel ships and obstructing flights out of Sana'a airport. Yemeni activist and political commentator Hossein al-Bukhaiti says the Saudi-led coalition has repeatedly violated the truce that came into effect earlier this month, but the United Nations has only expressed concern without any action.
Still, the Saudi artillery shall continue in some areas in the border between Sana'a and Yemen. That's why I believe if the just imagine we about 24 days has gone from this truce, and Saudi did not allow any flight to come or to go out of Sana'a. The agreement said that two flights a week will come to Sana'a. This means that the Saudi till now are actually is the one who obstructing this truce, and the United Nations, especially the UN envoy to Yemen, he should be cleared and he should pinpoint who is actually obstructing this truce. But I've seen his latest statement about half an hour ago. He said that they feel concerned about the latest news about a flight that was supposed to Sana'a was cancelled. I mean, United Nations, their statement is all about concern. But as soon as Sana'a will respond to the Saudi breach of this truce or attack Saudi Arabia, we will see all-out condemnation from the United Nations and from other country who is actually making profit from this war against Yemen.
In France, polls are now open with incumbent President Emmanuel Macron and his far-right rival Marine Le Pen fighting a final duel in the race for the top job. Some 49 million French are eligible to vote in the hotly contested runoff, with opinion polls predicting Macron to come out the winner. A victory will make him the first French president to be re-elected in two decades. But Macron says that's not final and has pleaded with voters to turn out in large numbers to avert a shock shift to the far right. That's amid Le Pen's insistence that opinion polls giving Macron the lead would be proved wrong. The two also faced off in 2017 elections when Macron won by a decisive margin. Ramin Mazahari is our correspondent on the ground at one of the polling stations in the French capital, Paris. And Ramin, we've spoke a little bit about the, you know, the level of abstention during over the past few hours, the number of people protest voting as well by casting a blank ballot. Do you want to touch on that a little further and perhaps any other updates that you may have?
Well, there's just not many updates to give because here in France, exit polling is banned. So we're not going to know anything until 8 o'clock Paris time, which is really not too off, not too far off. And what's good about it is that their system is, we can be extremely confident in the results. So at 8 o'clock Paris time, 1800 Greenwich Mean Time, we are most likely going to know who the next president is. You spoke about abstention, and it is trending lower. It's almost 10% lower than it was back in 2017. And it's expected to be the lowest turnout for a second round runoff since 1969. So we're talking more than 50 years. What's a bit more interesting is the number of blank and spoiled ballots. That's expected to be a record, and it should be around 15%. So if we're talking 30% abstention and 15% blank or spoiled ballots, we are talking about 45% of the electorate is not actually going to vote. So Macron and Le Pen, they are bitterly, tightly contesting for this 55%, which is left. And 55%, that corresponds almost precisely to their number of their first round voters. So what we can say right now, as far as the polls, as you mentioned, Macron is expected to win, but a win by Le Pen would not be shocking to anybody. because of these reasons, because of the high number of spoiled ballots or blank ballots, people who will abstain. You have 30% of people who were still undecided going into today. And then you have the fact that the Western polling agencies, they've had a very, very tough time counting the right nationalist vote, whether it's Brexit, whether it's Trump, whether it's recently in Hungary. So certainly a Le Pen victory would not surprise people. But right now it's going into today's vote. It went from being a dead heat 2 weeks ago at the end of the first round. It's about 54 to 46 Macron, but that's very close to the margin of error, and there's many unknowns.
Ramin, thank you very much indeed for that. Ramin Mazahari there at a polling station in the French capital, Paris, of crucial elections there for not just France, but the region as well, Europe. Elsewhere, Russian forces keep pounding cities and towns in southern and eastern Ukraine, with the war now in its third month. The biggest battle revolves around the southeastern port city of Mariupol, where Russia has resumed its assault on the last Ukrainian forces holed up inside a giant steel plant. President Zelensky has warned that peace talks with Moscow would be suspended if his soldiers are killed. Meanwhile, in the eastern Lugansk region, Ukrainian officials say Russian strikes on the village of Grisk have killed 6 civilians. Local officials also say 8 people, including a 3-month-old baby, lost their lives when Russia fired cruise missiles at the city of Odessa. But Russia says its forces destroyed a logistics terminal in the Black Sea port, where a large batch of U.S. and EU weapons were being stored. Moscow also says it struck several arms depots in the northeastern Kharkiv and another central region overnight. Elsewhere, Iran has reported its lowest daily tally of COVID deaths since the pandemic began, with only 13 fatalities registered over the past 24 hours. According to the health ministry, out of the total 31 provinces, 21 reported no fatalities. 8 provinces registered 1 death each, and the rest logged 5 fatalities altogether. Newly daily infections were 528, one of the lowest in the past months. Iran has largely contained COVID thanks to a mass vaccination program. Almost 70% of the population have received 2 doses of a vaccine. Nearly 32% have received a third shot, too. The government has reopened schools and universities this month after more than 2 years. And that brings an end to our bulletin for this hour. Thank you for staying tuned.
In this night of destiny, which is better than 1,000 months, dear Lord, we beseech you to shape our destiny in the most excellent manner.
Ramadan, the month of opportunities. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam and welcome to the program. We humans commit sin because of negligence. In other words, we forget God's commands and trespass his red lines. In such cases, God has ordered us to repent and return to the right path. Nevertheless, some of us have repented several times and breached our penitence and committed sins again and again. Some of us have plunged in sins to the extent that we despair of God and do not think of penitence at all. Insistence on sin is very bad, but being disappointed of God's mercy is worse and more reprimanded. God says to the prophet in Ayah 53 of Surah Zumar, say, O my servants who have committed excesses against their own souls, do not despair of God's mercy. Indeed, Allah forgives all sins. Indeed, he is the all-forgiving, the all-merciful. This ayah is full of grace and mercy of God. Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, says, be hopeful of God's mercy, the mercy which does not embolden you to disobey him, and have fear of God, the fear which does not make you desperate of his mercy. God tells the prophet in Ayah 60 of Surah Ghafir, your Lord has said, call me and I will hear you. Indeed, those who are disdainful of my worship will enter hell in utter humility. This ayah both makes us hopeful of God's mercy and warns against his wrath and punishment. The result of fearing God is giving up sins, and the result of hope in his mercy is to do righteous deeds. Part of Ayah 110 of Surah Kahf reads, whoever expects to encounter his Lord, let him act righteously. Here, it is clear that hope in God must be accompanied with righteous deeds, otherwise it would be lie. In the month of Ramadan, the individual is permitted to eat and drink of God's blessings from the dusk till the dawn. Having food before the dawn has been recommended as it gives energy to the body. But a common mistake is to have the pre-dawn meal hurriedly. This will cause ailments in both the stomach and the intestines. It will have negative effect on digestive system and will cause reflux of the stomach during the day. Although sleeping is very sweet in pre-dawn hours, it has been highly recommended to have this meal, which is called suhoor or sahari. It is good to regulate the volume of food in iftar in a way that the stomach is ready for another meal before the dawn. Fasting makes the heart luminous, and the individual tastes the sweetness of prayer and supplication with the Lord of creation. Worships in Ramadan make the spirit lighter and leads us to recognize God better. It is the month of adorning the soul and spirit with moral virtues via faith and righteous deeds. The ninth infallible successor of the Prophet, Imam Jawad, peace upon him, has said in a supplication, O God, O you who administer the affairs and have power over all things, O you who know the betrayal of eyes and what the chest conceal and what the inward hides, O God, place us among those who make intention and follow it with practice, and do not place us among those who are wretched and rely on other than work. O God, heal the diseases of our bodies and help us practice what you have obligated on us so that this month passes while we have fulfilled in it your obligation on us. O God, help us for fasting of this month and keeping vigil at night, and grant us liveliness in this month for performing ritual prayer, and do not deprive us from recitation of the Quran, and facilitate for us the giving of alms. O God, do not dominate chronic diseases, tiredness, ailment, and fatigue over us. O God, give us halal sustenance for iftar. O God, facilitate for us what you have sustained in this month, and pave the way for what you have determined of your affair, and make it halal, pure, and clean from sins and evils. O God, do not feed us except pure food, not polluted and haram, and make your sustenance halal for us, devoid of dirt and ailments. Imam Javad, peace upon him, says in another supplication in this month, O God, greet Muhammad and his infallible Ahlul Bayt and accept our fast and join it with good deeds and God-weariness and appreciate our effort and accept our keeping night vigil and the Quran that we have recited and answer out prayers and guide us to good deed and keep us aloof from hardships and prepare us for easy affairs and elevate our degrees and double our virtuous deeds and accept our ritual prayers so that the month of Ramadan passes by us while you have accepted our fast and keeping night vigil and cleansed and purified our deeds and forgiven our sins and fulfilled our share completely in this month of every goodness, as you are the answerer and near Lord, and you encompass everything.
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
aperture.
Welcome back to Aperture. Over the past 50 years, the average global temperature has increased at the fastest rate in recorded history. Scientists agree that the Earth's rising temperatures are fueling longer and hotter heat waves, more frequent droughts, heavier rainfall, and more powerful hurricanes. The impacts of global warming are being felt across the globe. And it could speed up if we keep burning fossil fuels at our current pace. But it's not just global warming. Other forms of pollution are also destroying the Earth. Now, many experts agree that environmental, economic, and health consequences are likely to occur if current trends continue. Don't go away. Here's the rest of the documentary.
We are a family, the Earth itself, and the humans that live on this planet, who can have a positive or negative interaction with each other. If we do negative things, nature will respond negatively.
Unfortunately, when we collectively use more and produce more, we see this as welfare. Anywhere in the world, if the production of automobiles, cement, or electricity increases, officials of that country take pride in it. For instance, they say we've been able to boost steel production by 10%.
Our main priority now is to cap production.
They would never come and say that we've cut production because the Earth is sick, it has a problem, that this year we've cut our production, we've cut cement, we've cut steel in order to cause less harm to the Earth. We haven't yet reached that stage.
Today, we hardly consider the future in our decisions. I can frankly say that we never think about the future.
The sky that you look upon, the air that you breathe, is your father. The planet you live on is your mother.
We failed to take into consideration the Earth's biological capacity, and this is the number one reason for the disaster we're now facing.
The polar bear, the ruler of the Arctic. There are 25,000 of them left in the world. They're on the verge of extinction. Animals need ice for hunting, seals and other prey, but the Arctic is melting.
Our water resources are being destroyed. Natural ice caps, which are the main source of sweet drinking water for billions of people, are melting. These are issues that will powerfully affect the future of mankind.
Everyone here is praying for more rain, but is it already too late?
Lack of water will be the main problem for mankind in the future.
It certainly looks like a crisis after the worst drought in 80 years in the state of São Paulo. Reservoirs have reached rock bottom, and everyone's hoping the rainy season will bring a miracle.
With global warming, we're concerned about the future of the Earth's environment and worried about the continued life of human beings. We're concerned about environmental adversities that could happen to the Earth. For example, the rise of international waters, melting of polar ice caps, and extinction of many animal species.
Look, with the predicted temperature changes, all polar ice caps are melting. Why? Why is all this happening? Because the temperature is rising, and so Q, or heat energy, is increasing. The temperature on Earth is rising. When a place like Alaska and cold climate regions are going down, well, this temperature difference is being narrowed. What will happen if the temperature difference narrows? Distances are being narrowed. So that means depth is being added to. When it becomes deeper, it means we're moving into it.
این عمر که زیاد بشه یعنی داریم میریم توش.
Due to the destruction we're causing to the planet, polar ice caps will melt in no time and water levels will rise. Then you'll see how many cities will be totally inundated, and this will lead to great expense and loss for humans. How many refugees will we have? What amount of humanitarian aid would be required for those inundated countries and to accommodate their people?
I am thinking about all the suffering you have caused us.
It's obvious that at some level we abuse the Earth to make money, but then we have to spend it, and the spending will probably increase.
I am trapped in a nightmare. I am trapped in this nightmare. I hope I wake up soon. This catastrophe is more than I can bear. But I am a forgiving mother. I cannot stand that my children are vanishing.
The main discussion point here is, to what extent are we endangering the balance of greenhouse gases in the atmosphere?
This is the result of years of indifference toward the rise of fuel consumption by Earth's inhabitants, using fossil fuels and extracting amounts of carbon from the depths of the Earth and emitting it out into our atmosphere, with the oceans and water's low capacity in absorbing it.
Countries that produce oil and gas highly depend on oil revenues for their income. Well, if we discuss cutting emissions, that would mean reducing the production of fossil fuels, and that could somehow affect their income in the future.
We humans, for our own interests, have been indifferent toward the Earth by gradually increasing the use of heating devices for transportation, as in cars, or fossil fuels that are used in industries, petrochemical refineries, powerhouses, and household fuels, and so on.
این محصول بی‌توجهی ما به حال زمین بوده.
We all breathe the same air. There may be less pollution in one place and more in another, but its effect on the environment can be hazardous for us all.
برای همه ما میتونه زیانبار و زیانبخش باشه.
Used to be so good, but my children started to forget about me. They started to only think about themselves and forgot about their mother. I don't quite understand why greed has taken such a hold on you. My children have brought disorder to this world.
We will see many people lose their habitats due to rising seawater levels in the future.
Consider the chain of islands that make up the Maldives, which are only 1.2 meters above sea level at most. The country will lose a large portion of its land with the minutest rise in open water levels. Residential areas will be destroyed.
Many people will be unable to continue living in their own countries due to the drought and lack of water.
You pointed out to wars being fought in the future over water. Unfortunately, I have to say that these wars have already started. The future is now.
Since entering the 21st century, even in our own Western region, there have been serious challenges over water resources.
So discussions about war and the competition for having access to water resources have already begun. It may not be that serious now, but be aware of its complications.
A large number of people will have to be relocated because their cities will become uninhabitable.
These people will migrate to places across the world, but these other areas do not have a high capacity either. It will be one of mankind's major problems in the future.
What does it all mean? It will mean high expenses for human living, something we never thought about. We never thought that a big city could ever become uninhabitable, a city with millions of residents, but it's happening.
The people I see, these are people, Paula, let me explain, who are people with limited resources. These are people who did not have the wherewithal to get out of town. They didn't have cars. There's no way they could pay for a hotel room. They stayed in their houses because they had to. Oh. And then the water came up. And I'm sure there were elderly here, there were infirm here. It's just horrific.
پیش بینی میشه که طی 15 سال آینده بر اساس بهترین برآوردهای
Based on UN estimations, it's predicted that within the next 15 years at most, between 80 and 90 million people will be displaced from small countries that are made up of chains of islands due to global warming and climate change. Then we won't be dealing with migrants and asylum seekers displaced by war and conflict. We will have migrants fleeing environmental disasters as well. So we need to make people around the world more aware of this eventuation and find a solution for it.
If I make a mistake here and go to jail, my kids and family will live the effects. I've done something wrong, but my child will feel its effects. If I make a mistake as a member of the global community, that mistake affects the whole. One multiplied by 1,000. One is a small figure. One is a small figure, but it's multiplied by 1,000. What does it equal? It equals 1,000. We have an index called M for mistake, which is a huge figure collectively. It's the mass of the entire planet. It's not at all a small figure. Now, even if you have an extremely small figure, you're multiplying it by a very large number. 1 multiplied by 1,000 equals 1,000. The 1 turned into 1,000. 2 multiplied by 1,000 equals 2,000. 3 multiplied by 1,000 equals 3,000. 0.5 multiplied by 1,000 equals 500. So we should be aware of what we're doing.
The Earth is also making all efforts to somehow balance all the noise and demands we're imposing on it. However, our power, mankind's destructive power, is now seemingly taking the upper hand over the Earth's ability to regenerate itself.
Anyways, we should know that if the doors to the future open in this way, it will lead to a grave crisis.
Argument. I think about climate change and this disaster.
The components of social welfare need to be changed. The developing world should no longer be using the same criteria the developed world has defined as welfare for its people and follow their footsteps.
If we take an overall look, I think any project, any move, any industrialization, any process or any technology should calculate the temperature rise on the Earth in proportion with the delta T quotient.
Finally, humans can go on living for a week or two without food and a few days without water, but without air, we can't but survive for a minute. It is the most vital of anything the Earth's atmosphere has provided us with. We're using it, but on the other hand, we're destroying it, badly, and with high cost. We place it into a poorly manufactured man-made combustion device and receive toxic chemicals on the other side, which remains. It remains and moves around. And the Earth has no way to get rid of some of these toxic chemicals we've produced.
The economy has limited all activities to itself, and those who speak about the impact on the environment and the earth just talk and hold summits, but practically it's almost useless.
Concern. Just concern. What does that mean? What does being concerned mean? Static concern is meaningless. Concern should be dynamic. If you're concerned, you should do something to reduce that concern. That's a dynamic solution, not a static one. A static solution just adds to your concern and accumulates and is useless.
هیچ فایده هم نداره.
Concern must be dynamic. What does dynamic mean? It means you must seek a real solution for it. It means you need to have a program.
I believe that if we carry on like this, making the earth sick and failing to do anything about this sickness, we'll be deeply ashamed in front of our next generations. They've had no role in bringing about this situation, yet they have to bear the consequences, consequences that are getting worse by the day. So I can't do anything but apologize to the next generation who might be watching this film for the disasters that my generation is causing the environment and the earth.
I
don't understand why my children are destroying the one and only home that they have. As my children, they have closed their eyes to the facts. Don't use your planet in the wrong way. We are a part of you, not separated from you.
The Earth has been stable and balanced due to its ecosystem. It carried on with its life way before we ever came along and started hurting and destroying it. Finally, just like a pendulum will do, if you place it out of balance, it will try to balance itself, reach its lowest energy level and become balanced.
The Earth is our mother. It's beautiful, it's a creator, it's merciful, and we in return are being very bad children.
Well, it's perfectly true that every single one of us citizens of the Earth must do our share to reduce pollution. But to curb global warming and avoid its dire consequences, the countries most responsible must make an effort. The U.S. has caused more global warming than any other country. Research shows that from 1850 to the year 2011, the United States, a single country, produced 27% of the total carbon dioxide emissions of the world. No other single country was even close. Indeed, the U.S. even outdistanced all the nations of the European Union combined. Well, that's a wrap for this week, but join me again next week here on Aperture. Goodbye for now.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1920 to 2020 UTC on the following frequencies. 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz for Europe, and 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz for Southern Africa, and FM 91.5 megahertz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.